And, okay, the Gemara says, Samach, Samachay Amid Aleph, now in Ksuvis. The Mishnah said, if a woman is not living with her husband, X amount of food and bedding and everything, the husband has to give to the wife. But with wine, it doesn't say you give. So from here, the Gemara says that you don't give wine to a woman who's not living with her husband. Why not? Because, the Grashi says, it's going to bring her to lewdness, and she's not living with her husband, so she'll come to do Avedis with other men. V'im Tamer, if you're going to say, the Pasuk says, El Cha'achar Me'aveh, I'll go after my friends, Neis Elachmi, those who provide my bread, Umeimai, my water, Samri Upishti, my wool and my linen, Shamri, my oil, and Vishikuvai, my drinks, which the Gemara thinks it means wine. So the Chayyim of Pasuk says, implies that you have to give a woman wine. So the Gemara says, no, what it means is, not wine, but Dvarim She'isha Mishtekekes Alein, things that a woman yearns for. Shekekes doesn't mean drinks, it means that she yearns for it. And what is it? Tachshit and ornaments, other Mefarshim learn, it means cosmetics. Bottom line is, the part Rabbi Elazar says, and that obviously seems to be the halacha from our Gemara, that a woman that lives alone, you don't give her wine to drink. You don't give her a stipend of wine, because it will bring her to things that she's no good. Then the Gemara says, Dorish Reb Yehuda ish kfar nevirayo, Reb Yehuda from kfar nevirayo said the following. Or some people said, ish kfar nevir chayil, that he was from kfar nevir chayil. Minayin she'ein peiskin yenis li'isha. How do we know? Where do we see in Tanakh that the Torah says you don't give wine to a stipend of wine for a woman, Shenamah, because it says like this. Vatokim Chana, Chana got up after she ate in Shiloi. Va'achri shosoi, and after he drank. It's interesting. The Pasuk says Chana got up after she ate and he drank.
Good Chana.
Chana was the mother of Shmuel Anavi. Shasai, it says, the Pasuk says that after Elkanah, her husband drank, and not she drank. So he says an interesting thing. The Pasuk says she got up after she ate, but it doesn't say after she drank. It says after he drank. So from here you see you don't give a stipend of wine for a woman. Okay? Elamayato. So if that's the case, because the Pasuk says, if you bring me the Gemara, I'll show you exactly where we're up to.
Huh?
No, we're on top of the next page, right? Samachay. We just started. We're, about like 8 lines down. But the Pasuk says an interesting thing. It says, Chana got up after she ate and he drank. Oh, you got it.
Yeah,
right here. Right there. So, what's interesting is, the Pasuk seems to imply that she ate, Chana ate, and Elkanah, her husband, drank. But it doesn't say he ate. It's funny, what do you mean he didn't eat? He says, Al me'ata ochle v'ochoch, and I'm saying it to me that he didn't eat, it doesn't mean it. So he says like this, Anan, what is the proof that Chana didn't drink wine? Okay, meaning like this. The Pasuk is talking about Chana. The Gemara is going to say this in a second. The Pasuk is speaking about Chana. She got up after she prayed in Shiloh for her son. Okay, that's what happened. She got up and after she ate and he drank. So because we're talking about Chana, why does the Torah use the word he drank? Of course it says she ate, because we're talking about Chana, we're not talking about her husband. But why does it say...
Chana more famous than her husband?
Yeah. She was a prophet, and he wasn't.
Okay,
so he says, "Begavok of us, my time is shani." Why does the Torah then add that she ate, and her husband drank wine? From here we learn, Shmamina shasi v'leshasi, that a woman is not given a stipend of wine. Why? Because wine, especially with, like we said before, if she's living separately than her husband, by giving her a stipend of wine, she'll become, get drunk and do lewd things, and improper things, so therefore the Gemara says we don't give a woman wine to drink. Meisvei, but the Gemara asks a question in a braisa. It says, in a braisa, regila, if the woman is accustomed to drink wine, neisim, you give her wine. We just got through saying we don't give a woman a stipend of wine, but the braisa says if she was accustomed to drinking wine, you do give her wine. So you do give a woman wine. So Gemara says, no, regila shani, when she's used to it, when she's accustomed, that's a different story. Like this. A woman who doesn't drink wine, and she drinks wine, it'll bring her to Ludax. A woman that drinks wine is not going to bring her to Ludax, because she's used to it already. The Gemara says, the Amar of Kchin in the Bakana Meshmul, Regila, if a woman was accustomed, this is the halacha about giving the stipend to the woman. If she was accustomed to drink wine, neisim lo kosechot, you give her one cup of wine. Sheina regila, the words where are we going to, this doesn't make sense. It says like this, if she's accustomed to wine, Shmuel says you give her one cup. If she's not accustomed, you give her two cups. So the Gemara says, what?
What's going on?
That doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what he meant. Hachi kamed, this is what he means. Regila means like this. If she's accustomed in the presence of the husband, that means when they're living together in the same house, she drinks wine, two cups of wine, neisim lo kasechot, you give her one cup of wine. That means like this. A woman, when she's living with the husband, drinks two cups of wine. When she's living separated from the husband, you give her one cup of wine. But if a woman was accustomed in the presence of the husband to have only one cup of wine, if there's no husband, you don't give her any wine at all. Okay?
Who gives her the stuff? Who gives her the wine? The rabbi?
Well, no, the husband's estate. So we learned if the husband and wife are still married, but they're not living together, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you weren't here last week. It says he has to give X amount of wheat, X amount of barley, X amount of bedding, X amount of clothing, X amount of shoes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
You don't have to go back.
Okay, so that then, so the Gemara says wine it doesn't say. Nevertheless, if the woman was accustomed to drinking wine in the presence of her husband, so Shmuel says like this, if she was accustomed to drink two cups of wine in the presence of her husband, you give her one cup of wine. If she only drank one cup of wine in the presence of the husband, you give her no wine. Okay, that's what Shmuel said. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. By same or another way of answering the question is like this. Regila, if a woman is used to drinking wine, naisim la letzike kadeda. You give her wine not to drink, but to use in cooking, to season the pot. The Amar Rababu, Amar Rabbi Yechon, the Gemara brings on a number of very interesting stories that happened. Rababu said the name of Rabbi Yechonin, Maise bekalase shenagdimen ben Gurion. There was a story with the daughter-in-law of Nagdimen ben Gurion, who was one, if you remember in the Tisha B'Av story, there are three rich men. They're able to support the city for 21 years, and their gangsters burnt down all their stuff.
The food.
So Nagdimen ben Gurion, his daughter-in-law, meaning, she became a widow. Nagdimen ben Gurion's son died. Okay? And Shapaskulo Chachamim, the Chachamim gave her, Sasayim Yayin Letzike, Kedeirim Erev Shabbos Erev Shabbos. They gave her two saw of wine, it's a measurement of wine, for her pots, you know, to cook with, Every from week to week. Amalahem, so she said to them, the rabbi, she was angry, because she wanted more. So she said to them, Kachtivsku lebnei seichem, this is what you should give your daughters. In other words, she maintained, because don't forget, she was a daughter-in-law of a very wealthy man. So she was a spoiled daughter-in-law. So they gave her two so, which is, you know, it's a lot. tusa of wine. But she thought it was stingy. So she said, I want to curse you. You should give this to your daughters, that amount to wine. In other words, you shouldn't be able to give your daughters a lot of money. Tanit says in the Braisa, okay, why did the Chachamim give her so little? Shemeres Yavim Haisa. She was waiting to do Yibum. Meaning she was waiting to marry the brother. And by the way, V'le'anu Achra Amen. They did not answer Amen. Meaning like this. The stipend was enormous, relatively speaking. If they would answer Amen, okay, then it would apply
that their daughters would have lost their
husbands. Well, lost their husbands, right. So therefore the rabbis didn't want to say Amen. In other words, they would have said Amen, because it was not a curse. They said, you should give this amount of wine to your daughters.
Yeah, that's
that was a lot of wine. They should have said Amen.
Amen.
But the reason they didn't, because her husband died, she was waiting to do the mitzvah of Yibum with the brother-in-law, and the rabbis didn't want to say Amen, like you should become, my daughter should become a widow. So they kept away from Amen, but the Gemara says it was a tremendous amount of wine. So therefore this is based on what the Gemara just said before. Either you give her wine to drink, less half of what she had when she was together with her husband, or they would actually give her wine to use for cooking. To season the pot, so to speak. Okay. It's funny, Gemara. Now, I just want to say one thing. The wine in the olden times was very strong. It wasn't like today's wine, which is diluted, and it was really, really strong wine. Okay? Tanit says in the Braisa like this. Kais echad yafal isha. One cup of wine is good for a woman. Shnayim, two cups of wine, the nivalhu. She'll become disgraced. Because two cups of wine is going to make her tipsy. She's going to behave improperly. Shloisha, if she has three cups of wine, tevas bepeh. She's going to ask her husband openly for marital relations. Arba, if she drinks four cups of wine, chamar tevas b'shuk veinim akpedis. She'll have a relation with a donkey in the marketplace. She in other words, she's so drunk, she wouldn't know what she's doing. Amar Rava, but Rava said, this whole din applies, she'ein ba'li ima, if the husband's not there. But, ba'li ima, if the husband's with her, it doesn't matter, because she'll have relations with the husband. Who cares? She's not going to go to a donkey. And either way, the Gemara says like this, wine for a woman is not modest. One cup of wine is good. You know, two is cause it to be disgraceful. Three, she'll openly say to the husband in public, let's have relations. Three, she'll even, four, she'll even have with a donkey. Okay? But the Gemara says, it doesn't matter. But
wine also induces milk in
the... No, beer does, not wine.
You learn wine.
No. Oh, yeah, you're right. We did learn before in the Gemara. But beer is better. Wine, but here we're not talking about a nursing mother.
I understand. I'm saying it's just...
Yeah. But the Gemara asked the question, but Chana didn't drink, but her husband was with her. The passage that we just heard about Chana, Elkanah was with her. He drank wine and she didn't drink wine.
Maybe it was in public.
1 minute. No, the Gemara said, V'chana b'ali imo havoi. Okay, but Chana was with her husband, and the Torah says she didn't drink, but according to what we just said, she should be able to drink, because the husband is there. So the Gemara says like this, Achsenoy Haver. She was a guest in somebody else's house. And the Gemara says, Minayin Achsenoy She'osim B'tashim Shamita. How do we know that a guest in somebody's house is forbidden to have marital relations? Okay? Shenamer, it says like this. By Chana, in fact, it says. Vayashkimu ba'beker, they got up in the morning. Vayishtachvu la'vnei Hashem, they bowed in the Beis HaMikdash Hashem. Vayishuva ve'yevel Beis HaRamasa, they came back where they lived in Beis HaRamasa. Vayeda Elkanah Sishtei, Chana Ishtay, Elkanah had relations with his wife, and God remembered her and she became pregnant. Okay? Meaning, Hashta Ein. When they came home, that's when the Pasuk says they had intimacy. But on the way home, they didn't. So Gemara says, in fact, by the way, this is the Nishchonach. There's a lot of issues with this, but the bottom line is, it doesn't even say. Yeah. Like he brings down from Shchunach, this is Din Shchunach. If a guest is in somebody's house, and they have their own private room, and they bring their own bed sheets, so this is Shchunach even today, then they can have relations, even in somebody else's house. But if they don't have their own room, so it's public, and the bed sheets, they might get dirty, and people know what happened, it's immodest. But if they have their own room, they bring their own bed sheets, then it's not a problem having marital relations. Okay? Now the Gemara tells a story. It's another interesting story. Choma, the visu da Abaya, Choma, who is the widow of Abaya, okay, also lekame de Rava, came before Rava, Amro like circling mezaini, give me my stipend for my husband's house. Like she was a widow, right? Abaya passed away. Abai's wife was Choma. That was her name. Pasikla, he gave her, stipend. The wife has to get supported from the husband's estate if he died. So she said, Psokli Chamra, give me wine for my husband's estate. Amala, so Rava said, don't forget, Abai and Rava are very good friends. Yadana Bebe Nachmoi, da Vishasa Chamra. I know about my friend, Nachmeini, he called him, I'll explain what that means, Abaya, that he didn't drink wine. So don't tell me that you want your husband's wine from your husband's estate. Your husband didn't drink wine, and therefore he didn't give you any wine to drink. Now, at the bottom he says, and this is a famous thing from all over the place. Abaya, there's two opinions, what Abaya's real name was. One opinion was like this. Abaya was a doubled orphan. Abaya's father died before he was born. His mother died when he was born. So Abaya was an orphan. His uncle, Rabba, okay, Rabba of the Gemara, I believe it was his uncle, raised him. Okay? Now, Rabba's father, the famous Rabba of the Gemara was Rabba Bar Nachmeini. So because he probably didn't have either a kid or a name after his father. So he called Abaya, this orphan kid, he called him Nachmeini for his father. Okay?
Grandfather's
right. Now, some people say that Abaya was Rabba's nephew and his given name was Nachmeini after his grandfather. Okay? But Rabba didn't want to call him Nachmeini, because he didn't want to call him by his father's name, so he called him Abaya. What does Abaya mean? Abaya comes with the word Av. Abaya in Aramaic means father. Okay, so there's different opinions over there with what happened with Abaya. One opinion is that Rabba called Abaya Nachmeini, okay? Why? Because he wanted to name him after his father. Other people say he didn't call him after his father, Nachmeini, even though Abaya was named after Rabba's father, because Rabba, it was his nephew, but he didn't, so he called him Abaya, meaning father. Some people say, a third opinion by the way, that Abaya's name, Rabba called his name Abaya, because Abaya stands for Aleph Beis Yud Yud Asher Becho Yerucham Yosim, for in you the fatherless will find mercy. So that's the way Abaya came from. Anyway, so whether his name was Abaya, nicknamed Nachmeini, or he was Nachmeini, nicknamed Abaya, bottom line is he was Nachmeini. So Rava, who was very close to Abaya, said to Abaya's wife, the widow, don't ask me for wine, food I gave you. You ask me for wine, your husband never drank wine, I'm not giving you one. Amalei, So she said to Rava, Chaye demar, by the life of your master, means I swear, avamashkele b'shufrozi ki hai. Okay? Just picture the story. Abaye's widow comes to Rava, okay, and says, listen, my husband died. Your buddy Abaye died. Give me food. He said, here's from the estate food. She says to him, give me wine. So he said to her, your husband never drank wine. She said to him, I swear, and she went like this, to show, I used to give him wine in these massive goblets. And while she said it, her hand, the clothing went down a little bit, and her hand became revealed. Listen to what happened. Bahadur komachvale, as she was showing the extent of her arm, igla dra, her arm became uncovered, and listen to what happened. Nafal nahayda bebeidina, a light fell in the courthouse, meaning, okay, it's figuratively, her skin was so beautiful, that when she uncovered the skin by show, you know, you pick up your hand, your sleeves come down. So her hands were so beautiful that she lit up the whole house. What happened? Kam Rava Olabesi. Okay. It's a very interesting part. Obviously you have to understand it in the right context of who we're talking about over here. So Rava became turned on by seeing Abaye's wife's the widow's arm. So what happened? Rava went home. Tava lebasar of Chista. He solicited his wife, who is Rav Chista's daughter. Rava was the son-in-law of Rav Chista, to have relations with him. And he got turned down, and he went home to have relations with his wife in the middle of the day. Amalei be Rav Chista, said Rav Chista's wife, Rav Chista's daughter, meaning his wife, said to him, Man hava idna beidina, who was in the courthouse today, that you got turned down like this. Amalei chayma divisad Abaye. So he said, Chom Abaye's widow. Nafkala Abasra, so she ran after Choma. Rav's wife chased Abaye's wife Choma. Machtale Bekufa Deshida, she beat her with the lock of a chest. Some people say the leather of the chest. Adaapkale Mikula Mechuzah, she threw her out of the entire city of Mechuzah. Amra, she said to Choma, Katauta Loch Tlasa, you already killed three husbands. I'll tell you in a second. Va'achas l'mikta achnin. Now you want to come to kill my husband too. In other words, the story is like this. Abaye's wife, she was married twice before Abaye. Abaye married her, Abaye was the third. She was an extremely, extremely beautiful woman. Okay? She was married twice before, then she married Abaye. Okay? When Abaye died, technically Rava could have married her. Because she was a widow. So Rava's wife didn't want Choma to marry her husband. Don't forget, they didn't have many wives in those days, right? She didn't want because she said, you already killed three husbands, you're going to kill my husband too. So she threw her out of the city.
Did she do that?
She did it with force.
She did it.
At the bottom in 30 brings on, there's a famous machlekes in the Gemara Yevamis. The Gemara says like this, a woman who is called a katlonis, a killing wife, cannot get married to another man.
After a third husband?
So one opinion holds after two marriages, like if she was widowed twice, and, Rav Shimon Gamliel says she can marry a third time. The Chachamim hold, Chachamim Agin Rav Shimon Gamliel, you can't even get married after two husbands. Okay? Because there's an assumption she'll kill the third husband too. Not murdering him, she'll just kill him. And the Rav Shimon Gamliel says no, after two wives, have two husbands, she can marry a third husband. But this is already three husbands she married already. So according to all opinions, she was a killing wife. So she wouldn't be allowed to marry anybody anyway. But Rav's wife threw her out of the city. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Divisu Rav Yosef b'nei de Rava, the widow wife of Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, also the Kamid Rav Nechemya b'nei de Rav Yosef, came before Rav Nechemya, the son of Rav Yosef. Okay, so she was a widowed wife, yeah? Amalei, she said, Psokli Mazena, give me from the estate. Again, this is going back to the halacha, that when the husband dies, the wife gets fed from the estate until she collects the ksuba. Pasuk lo, he gave it to her. He gave her the food. Pasuk licham, she said, give me wine. I want wine also. So over here the Gemara said, Pasuk lo, he gave her wine as well. I learned before in the Gemara, you don't give a woman a stipend of wine. So the Gemara says, Amr lo, he said, you know why I gave you wine? Yadana b'nei mechuza. I know the residents of Mechuza, where you live, that they are accustomed to drinking wine. And therefore, Rava was the Rava of Mechuza. Rava drank wine, so his son drank wine. So he said, why am I giving you a stipend of wine? Because in Mechuza, the women drank wine. And we learned before, if she was accustomed to wine, you give her wine. Then the Gemara says like this. Divisu Rav Yosef b'rei Rav Menashe Medvil. The wife, the widow wife of Rav Yosef, the son of Menashe Dvil, came before Rav Yosef. Okay? And she said, Psukli Mazaini, give me my sustenance. Possibly he gave her. Psekli Chamra, give me wine. Possibly he gave her wine also. Why? Because obviously in that city, the women drank wine. Amalah, so then she said like this, Psekli Shiroi, give me a silk stipend. Silk was an expensive material in that day. So first she asked for food, she got it. She asked for wine, she got it. Then she said, give me silk. Amalah said to her, the rabbi said to her, Shiroi Lamalach, why do you need silks? Okay? So she said to him, Loch ulchava ulchavuroch, for you, for your friend, and for your friend's friends. What does that mean? Until now, I was held in high esteem in the community. It seemed that the family had money. I want to be held in the same high esteem. I don't want to walk around like a beggar. I want to walk around with expensive clothing that I should have the same respect I had before I became a widow. But the Gemara doesn't say he gave it to her. It seems though he implies that he did give it to her. Okay, that's it. Next Gemara. Okay, we're finished with the wine. Okay? So the pearl, the outcome of today's Gemara that we learned, because the whole Gemara is about the giving of the woman wine. If she's not accustomed to wine, you don't give her wine. If she's accustomed to wine, you do give her wine. But that's only when she's living in the same house with the husband. If she's living in a separate house, you don't give her wine. Unless if she was accustomed to two cups, you give her one. If she was accustomed to one cup, you give her nothing. Because we don't want her to create a lewd behavior because she's not living with her husband. So she might do things which are wrong. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. In the Mishnah it said, Nesel Lamito Mapats. Give her a bed, a soft mat, and a hard mat. I mean, that's what the Mishnah said. So the Gemara says, Mapats Machzelis Lomali. Why does she need a soft mat and a hard mat to give her? Because the Gemara thought now, okay, that what was a bed? There are different types of bed in the olden times. The Gemara thought now, that what bed are we talking about? They would stretch a sheet of leather over a woman's frame. Okay? The bed would actually be, they would take a frame and stretch
leather
over the bed. So the Gemara asks, leather is softer than a mat. So why do you have to give her a mat if she already has a bed and the leather is softer than the mat? Why do you have to give her a mat for? You're giving her a bed. The bed is automatically more comfortable. What do you have to give her that for? So Gemara says, no. It's not speaking a bed made out of leather. It's speaking ba'asa de nehige, is a place where the custom of the malia puri b'chavla. They would fill the bed with rope. In other words, what was the bed? Not leather. They would stretch, they would have a bed frame. And then they would stretch ropes across the bed. Yeah? That was very uncomfortable. So for those beds, the Mishnah says you have to give her a soft mat and a hard mat and because she has to be comfortable. But if it's a leather bed, then you don't have to give her mats. Like just to use it in practical halacha. If you give her a bed today, you don't have to give her mats with the bed because the bed is more comfortable than the mat. So if it would be a leather bed, like the Gemara said, which is a comfortable bed, you wouldn't have to give her mats. But if it was a rope bed, they would have to give her mats. Okay? Now, the Gemara says another braisa. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to pop up. Oh, by the way, the Mevagerli. If a woman slept on a rope bed without a mat, it would cause her to age. It would cause her to age quickly. So they would need the mats to soften the bed that she couldn't sleep on. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Tan Rabban Rabbanan learned. A nice in law card of a kesses. We give the wife, we don't give her a pillow or a mattress. Mishum Nabnasin Amru, in the name of Nabnasin, they said, Nasin la Karvakesis. You do give her a pillow and a mattress. So Gemara says like this, I don't understand. There's two opinions. If you give the wife in the stipend, if you give her a pillow and a mattress. Yeah? One opinion says yes, one opinion says no. So the Gemara said, I don't understand. The Gemara is going to be very simple. If it's normal for them to have a pillow and a mattress, then you have to. If the custom is not to, what's the argument? One opinion says you have to give her a pillow and a mattress, and one opinion says you don't give her a pillow and a mattress. So the Gemara says, one minute, Eichidami. Ido urcham. If it's the custom for women to sleep on a mattress and a pillow, my time at a Tanakama. Why should the first opinion say you don't have to give her a pillow and a mattress? If women sleep normally on a mattress, then you have to give her a mattress. Vida lavurcha. And if it's not the normal way that women don't sleep with a pillow and a mattress, my time with Rav Nosson, what's the reason of Rav Nosson that you do have to give it to her? Zuma is very simple. It doesn't make sense. If women sleep with a pillow and a mattress, everybody should say give it to her. If she doesn't, everybody should say no, don't give it to her. So what's the thing over here? So he says like this. Leitzricha, this is the case. Kagain the orcha didei. It was his custom to sleep on a pillow and a mattress. V'lav orcha dida, but she didn't. In other words, like this. When she was married, because that's the Gemara's question. What did she do when she was married? Because you're giving her a stipend from the husband's estate, right? Now they're living separate. So if when she lived at home with the husband, she used a pillow and a mattress, so of course you have to give her a pillow and a mattress to sleep. If not, not. So Gemara says like this, no, when she was living at home with the husband, this is a good husband, he slept on a pillow and a mattress and she didn't. He slept with a pillow and a mattress.
What did she sleep on?
Huh?
What did she sleep on?
On the bed, without a pillow and a mattress. Okay, so now the question is like this. Tane kama savad, okay? The first opinion that says that you don't give it to her, they hold ki azlina shakilnalu. She says like this. She says to the husband, you know something? When I go away, I mean, I'm going to live, you know, leave your apartment and live through an administrator. Shakil Naluhu, I'm going to take the pillow and the mattress with me. V'chiyasina, and when I bring it back, my sina bado, I'm going to bring it back with me. Okay, therefore, what does this mean? I, the nights I sleep with you in the house, yeah, I'll bring you back your pillow and your mattress. If not, I want it. And Abnasin Savak, Amr Lay. No, I'm sorry. I mixed up the two opinions. The Tanakhama says you don't give her a pillow and a mattress. Why not? He sleeps with a pillow and a mattress and she didn't. So he says, Amalah, the husband could say to the wife like this, Ki Azlino, when I live by myself, Shakil Naluhu, I'm going to take the pillow and the mattress with me. Because you anyway don't sleep with a mattress. Ki Asina, when I come back to be with you, I'll bring him back the pillow and the mattress. So if Nasan Savas says, no. Zimnan de Misrama ben Ashmashas. Sometimes, remember we learned before in the Mishnah, when does the husband come home to sleep with her? Friday night. So the woman said, no, I don't want to give you the pillow and the mattress. Why? Because sometimes you're going to come home Friday night, after Shabbos began, and you're not going to be able to bring it with you because you can't carry on Shabbos. So then I'm not going to be able to have it. So therefore, Shakil Dula Didi, you're going to take my pillow and mattress, and you're going to make me sleep on the floor. In other words, what's she going to say? You're going to force me to buy a pillow and a mattress. Right? Because I need to sleep in a pillow and a mattress. So what's going to happen? You're going to, one, come back to me a Friday night. You're not going to be able to bring your pillow and mattress. You'll take mine and make me sleep on the floor. She said, I don't want that. So Reb Nosson says, if that's the case, no, we were still on Omer Aleph. We're almost at the end. You have to give her the pillow and the mattress. Chum say no. The guy could say to her, listen, when I come with you, I'll give you the pillow, I'm bringing my pillow and the mattress. We're not, and that's it. Okay. So now the Gemara says like this. Taisus talks about the problem over here is if he doesn't have a pillow, he may take her mattress as a pillow. They didn't treat the wives too well in those days.
Huh?
No women's
different. Yeah, well,
they had more than one.
They had a lot of wives. It was complicated.
Imagine telling a woman today you can't have a pillow and a
mattress.
A mattress? Imagine that, what happened to that?
Yeah.
Imagine what would happen to that.
She'd say, sure, no problem.
Sure she would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure she would say that. Sure. God, Mashiach said, but when we get to temple, I mean, go by Jewish, really Jewish law, could you imagine what would happen if they say you can't have a bed and a, can you have a bed and a, can't have a bed and a pillow.
Yep.
And you think they would go along with that?
Yeah.
You really think so?
Yep.
Sleep on the floor.
No problem. Sleeping on the floor is good for the back.
You'd be sleeping on the floor.
Okay. Gemara says like this. The Mishnah said it then, Nathan lo kippa. The husband, one of the things he had to give her was like this. A kerchief for her head, to cover the head. A belt for her loins, shoes from yomtiv to yomtiv. That means the Mishnah said. The Gemara is going to say a very interesting question. The Mishnah said, bottom line, the guy used to buy her 3 pairs of shoes a year. The Mishnah said, here. The Mishnah said, Na'olim mimayad lemayali. Okay? Clothing, says like this. He bought a new clothes, remember, for the winter, and then she wore the worn out clothing for the summer. Right? Shoes, you have to buy 3 pairs of shoes a year. Yeah. For each Yom Tov, you have to buy a pair of shoes. Garments, twice a year, but once with new and once with old. Okay? So the Gemara asks the question, Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye, Papa is at Abaye. Next page. Hai Tana, Shliach HaTorloi, the Rami Mesad, remember in the 60s there was something called streaking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Streaking was he ran naked, only shoes. Yeah? So this is what the Gemara asked, this is, according to this Tana, he said, I understand, 3 pairs of shoes a year and 1 set of clothing. So basically, she's had more shoes than clothing. So he says, this Tana hold, okay? And he brings down at the bottom from Rashi, that people ridicule a naked person who's wearing shoes, because clothes are more essential than shoes. Wait, what's the Gemara's question? 3 shoes a year and 1 clothing or 2, yeah? That means you tell me shoes are more essential than clothing? The Gemara says we make fun of people having shoes and no clothing. Because clothing are more important than shoes. What's the Tana saying? Amalei said like this. You know why the Tana said 3 pairs of shoes a year? It's not a regular case. It's speaking b'makim harim koi. They live in a mountainous region where shoes wear out much quicker. Okay, the rocks. And therefore, leisagia b'leitilsa zugim misane. Therefore, it's not enough without 3 pairs of shoes. Va'agav orcha kamashmalan. So therefore, he says like this. This Tana that said 3 pairs of shoes is lived in a mountainous region where people needed 3 pairs of shoes a year. What is the Tana telling us? Because you buy 3 pairs of shoes a year, when do you buy it? Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. But in other words, everybody had 3 pairs of shoes. They tell a story with one of the great Pailish Rebbes, and Stoli Rapshitzer, when he was a little boy, he wore out his shoes very quickly. So his father said to him once, the kid was mamish 4 years old, 5 years old, a little boy. His father said to him, I don't understand. I buy shoes once a year. And you have to buy shoes twice a year. He was like admonishing the kid. So the kid said, Father, of course. For every step you take, I have to take 2. My feet, I'm smaller legs than you. So he's saying to his father, of course I wear out my shoes twice as fast as you. For every step you take, I take 2. His father, you know, is a brilliant thing from a kid. Okay, so therefore, v'agav urcha k'mashmo, what's the Mishnah teaching us? The nesvin on ela b'meit. When does she give him the shoes? On Yom Tov. That's when he gives her the shoes. Ki heicha de nevel asimcha b'vayah, that she should rejoice with the shoes. In other words, it says like this. He's not teaching us that you have to buy her shoes for every Yom Tov. That's not what the Tanya is teaching us. The Tana is teaching us she needs 3 pairs of shoes a year. If you're buying her 3 pairs of shoes a year because of the mountainous region, you might as well buy it on Yom Tov, that she should be happy on Yom Tov. But you know, there's a very interesting thing in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, it's connected to this Gemara. The Gemara says you should sell everything you have to buy a pair of shoes. The Gemara says the most in Shulchan Aruch, but it's quoted from a different Gemara, that the most important garment to wear is shoes. Sell everything else. But why? So the commentator is explaining it doesn't apply so much today. In the olden days, it was dirt. So snakes would bite them, bugs would bite them. So the part of your body that you needed the most protection from was the feet. That a snake, God forbid, shouldn't bite you and die. So therefore, the Gemara says the shoes are the most important garment to wear. Okay. Then the Mishnah said like this. V'kelim shel chamishim zuz. How much clothing does he buy her? 50 zuz a year. Okay? So now, Zuz is like coins. You can have good coins and bad coins. What type of coins are we talking about? So Amar Abaye, Chamishim Zuz Pshita. It's 50 common Zuz. Meaning, like what it says at the bottom for Mashi, it's preventional Zuz, which is an eighth of the Syrian Zuz, which is a much more expensive coin. So Rabbi just explains, when the Mishnah says 50 Zuz, it doesn't mean 50 expensive Zuz, he means 50 cheap Zuz. So he says, me my, from where do I know it? Rabbi says, where do I know it means the cheaper coins? Midik Tani, because the Mishnah, at the end of our Mishnah, says like this. When is the din that all these minimum requirements, all the minimum stipends that the husband gives the wife, when is it? By a poor Jew. But if it's a wealthy person, a woman from a wealthy family, that you give in accordance with the husband's wealth. Meaning, if she was married to a rich guy, you can't give her these minimal stipends, you have to give her more. So he said, Isau kadaitoch chamishim zuz mamish. If you're going to tell me that this poor man, you have to give him real zuz, ani chamishim zuz mana, where is a poor man going to get 50 expensive zuz? The Mishnah says, and in other words, Abaye says like this, this that the Mishnah says, you give her 50 zuz of clothing, means cheap zuz, not the expensive zuz. Because the Mishnah says this is only a poor person. A rich person has to give much more money. But if you're telling me this is the higher currency, expensive zuz, where in the world does a poor man get 50 zuz from? He's poor. Where does he get 50 zuz to be able to buy shoes for his wife and together with everything else he has to spend? Okay? So therefore, that you give her simple, common zuz. Okay, now like this. The Mishnah said, "A nesim olor chadashim." You don't give her new clothing in the winter. I'm sorry. You give her new clothing in the winter, because the new clothing are thicker. The old worn-out clothing are thinner. Right? So you give her the new clothing in the winter, which is less comfortable wearing, but it keeps you warmer, and the old ones in the summer. So now the Gemara says like this. A man has to give the stipend of food to the woman. Yeah? What happens if there's leftover food? Who keeps it?
The husband. According to this thing.
Who keeps the leftover food? So Tan Rabban and Moise Mezainis Lebal. The husband gets the leftover food. If she didn't eat it, okay, he keeps the food. Meisa Belois, the leftover worn-out clothing, who gets that? That the woman, the wife keeps. Because remember, we learned like this, you buy her 50 zuz a year, okay? So in the winter, she wears the new clothing. In the summer, she wears the old clothing. And then, but then she gets new clothing for the winter. So who keeps the leftover clothing? So Gemara says she does. Okay, we'll leave it here. We'll continue.